At 5:44, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin with a special report about the weekend's protests in North Texas in response to police killings of George Floyd and other black Americans nationwide. Following the protests, cities have issued curfews. Dallas's curfew continues again tonight at 7. It covers downtown and surrounding neighborhoods. Fort Worth's curfew goes into effect at 8, and it's for the entire city. And in Denton, a curfew is in place for the downtown area tonight at 9. Meanwhile, more rallies are in the works tonight in Dallas and Fort Worth. A protest is underway at this hour in Frisco, and in Denton, a protest is scheduled to start at 6 o'clock. This weekend's protests started peacefully, but some resulted in vandalism, arrests, and the use of tear gas by police. The governor declared a disaster for Texas. As KERA's Bill Zeeble reports, Sunday also saw local pastors hold a prayer vigil in Dallas.
A generator powered the microphone as Pastor Brian Carter spoke to hundreds of prayerful protesters in front of Dallas Police Headquarters.
And tonight we gather together to say that we are heartbroken and hurt over the continual persecution of young black men by those in law enforcement.
In the crowd, Alicia Brown welcomed the relief of prayer after a weekend of pain and protest.
If we look at it from what we feel as far as the physical and what they're doing to our physical body, we'll be angry and upset. So if we can come together and get like a spiritual point of view, then it may give us a better perspective to maybe feel more hope.
Dallas City Council members, Mavericks owner Mark Cuban, and Dallas Police Chief Renee Hall were all there, quiet under the hot, bright sun. Over the weekend, many had weighed in on the death in Minneapolis of George Floyd, an unarmed black man born in Houston. He died after a white officer held a knee to his neck for nearly 9 minutes. Dallas Mayor Eric Johnson's words echoed those of many.
What happened to Mr. Floyd and others before him was brutal and unacceptable and met rightfully with widespread condemnation from police here and across the country.
And like leaders in other cities, Johnson and Police Chief Hall reacted to the looting and vandalism that accompanied peaceful protests with arrests, tear gas, and flash bombs. Then Sunday, Chief Hall said it was time to protect her officers and the protesters they're committed to protect from the brick throwers and looters.
We are committed to keeping the city of Dallas, the residents of Dallas, our partners and police officers safe in this city. We will not tolerate what we are seeing right now.
The protests early in the day Friday and Saturday were peaceful, said Hall. After the sun set, though, some factions broke off, intent on smashing windows and looting some downtown stores. The scene was much different Sunday evening. National Guard troops were on Dallas streets, directing traffic away from parts of downtown, Deep Ellum, the Cedars, Victory Park, and other sections deemed off limits. I'm Bill Zeeble in Dallas.
Meanwhile, during a weekend dominated by protests, the Dallas Police Department is now investigating whether its officers were involved yesterday in incidents in which two people were hospitalized. The incidents happened on Main Street in downtown. People with information are asked to contact the department's Internal Affairs Division. We're going to hear more now from Dallas Police Chief Renee Hall. She's defending her department's use of tear gas during the weekend protests. Hall spoke with David Brown, host of Public Radio's Texas Standard.
I first want to get your thoughts on the death of George Floyd and the police officer involved. I'm sure you watched the video and you've condemned the actions of the officer.
Absolutely. I was very vocal, as most police chiefs across the country and police officers and police associations condemn those actions. We do not condone the behavior of the officer in Minnesota, and we are saddened and heartbroken by the death of Mr. Floyd. But we also recognize that that is not indicative of all law enforcement, and recognizing that there are challenges between the black and brown community and law enforcement, and there have been several incidents similar to this one. But, you know, there is nothing that excuses the behavior of individuals who are interrupting peaceful protests that we truly support. We support the fact that individuals are angry and want to express themselves through peaceful protests, but the looting and the criminal activity that we're seeing, the violence, the vandalism is not acceptable, a means to express themselves.
Your department approved the use of tear gas to deter protesters, and you told local news outlets that was done because of violence with police officers. What factored into your department's decision to use tear gas?
The understanding is that our goal is not to hurt or harm individuals. And the deployment of tear gas was determined because the officers were under attack. And bricks and other debris being thrown at the officers' heads, as well as broken windshields. They were stabbing the tires, flattening tires. They set cars on fire. And so at that particular point in time, the officers were under attack. The tear gas was deployed as the least lethal form of a force that we could show to disseminate the crowd, to allow these individuals to dissipate and to maintain and gather order for the officers. And so I stand by my decision to deploy the tear gas, and I believe that it was effective in allowing the crowd to disperse so that we could make the necessary arrests of those individuals who were throwing bottles and or engaging in acts of vandalism. And so I support it and I stand by it.
Many police departments and many Americans are expecting that protests could actually ratchet up during the course of the week. What is your expectation for Dallas, and how do you strike that balance for the police and use of force?
We continue to support a peaceful protest. We had one yesterday, multiple vigils yesterday that were very peaceful. People coming together, praying, walking, and showing solidarity in their desire for collaboration, which we need as police agencies with our communities. And so we continue as a police department to support that. But we will not tolerate. We will not tolerate individuals who are acting in complete, as I'll take the mayor's word, lawlessness. This criminal activity disguised as protest is unacceptable, and it does a disservice to the individuals who are actually seeking some sort of justice in the protest. And, you know, I believe in the voice. I believe that, you know, there is room for systemic change, and we have to do that as law enforcement officials and officers with our community. But we will not tolerate tearing up our cities, vandalizing store owners, or assaulting police officers.
That was Dallas Police Chief Renee Haw talking with David Brown with Texas Standard. While some violent disputes broke out between police and demonstrators across Texas, a majority participated peacefully. Public radio reporters spoke with protesters across the state about why they chose to attend.
We're not promoting violence, you know, that's not the thing, but we're just trying to promote the power for black people. You know, we stand for our pride. You know, we're tired of getting killed. This has been happening for years. It's just the fact that everybody has a cell phone to view it with a camera. You know, this has been happening for years. Yeah, it's about time for this. It's been well overdue. It's been over 400 years of oppression.
You don't want to see violence. You don't want to see any of that stuff, but it's just like, I get it. I don't want to hear, you know, let's peacefully do this, and it's like we've been peacefully doing this for years. I think that we're just tired. We're tired of having conversations. We're just tired of continuously having to tell the authorities, white people, whatever it is, that, you know, we just don't want to be killed anymore. Like, it shouldn't be a crime to be black. It just shouldn't be. And hopefully they'll listen. And to really have our voice heard, we have to, first and foremost, we have to get out and vote. That's what we really need to do. And I think that if everybody registers to vote, everybody gets out and actually votes, you know, we could really make that type of change that we want to.
I don't think a lot of people take it seriously because they don't live this life. If you don't live this life, you have the privilege and the power to not understand it. And so I do think it's something that's taken for granted for others because they have that luxury to do that. I don't. As a black male in today's society, I have a fear that even being in my own home, will I be shot or killed? And then when I go out in the public, what are people thinking of me? Sometimes my blackness is seen as a weapon. So I'm just here advocating against the police brutality, the injustices, as well as the history and foundation of America was built on racial inequality. So I'm hoping that one day I don't have to do this with my kids or my great grandkids. So that's why I'm here, because I think in a better tomorrow can happen.
That was Raylius Johnson in Dallas. Before that, Janon Temple in Fort Worth and Joman Simmons in Austin. This piece was produced by KERA's Rachel Osier-Lindley. Continuous television coverage of this weekend's protest ensured that demonstrators were seen. It's an open question, however, if their message was heard. Peniel Joseph is the founding director for the Center for the Study of Race and Democracy at the University of Texas at Austin. And as he told Think host Chris Boyd, this wave of anger and demonstration is not only nothing new, we are still not listening to the core messages.
It's hard to believe it's been just a week since the video of George Floyd's death went viral. When you saw it, did you immediately realize this would seize the country's attention?
No, not at the time. I thought that this was a video that was going to go viral and that there would be demonstrations, but not this kind of galvanizing global protest movement and really political rebellion that we've seen. Since most of the demonstrations actually have been peaceful, it's important to note, there has been violence. Some of that violence has been caused by law enforcement, and we have evidence on social media. Some of that violence has been caused by people who are not interested in social justice, but some of that violence has been caused by deprivation. You know, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said that rioting was the language of the unheard, but he also said that the cause of the racial disturbances and civil disturbances we saw in the 1960s were the direct result of institutional racism and structural violence against communities in Los Angeles, Birmingham, Louisville, Cincinnati, Plainfield, New Jersey, Cambridge, Maryland, New York City, that erupted in the 1960s. And I think we're seeing some of that same deprivation lead to real anger, real outrage, but really a call for change from the status quo. So we have to remember there's multiracial people marching. And when we think about America's criminal justice system, it has amplified a racial caste system that we've had in this country since the founding, and that's deeply rooted in racial slavery. So until we acknowledge that, because we've been telling ourselves this narrative that the civil rights movement from the 1960s solved everything, what the protests are saying is that we have people around the country and supporters around the world who are saying that we are better than this. We have to be better than this. We can be better than this. And they're trying to use the power of civil society and the power of civil disobedience, the power of peaceful protest to galvanize this country to be true to what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, be true to what you put on paper. And what he meant by that was the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution.
Peniel, what do you think accounts for the ways protests have taken different forms in different American cities? Some have been much more fractious than others.
Well, I think that all politics are local. And so we're seeing some are very multicultural, multiracial in character. Some populations are predominantly white, and you're seeing white allies march and protest in empathy. Some people are just taking advantage of this time just for their own ends and aren't necessarily interested in racial justice. And that has always happened historically. When you have mass movements, when you have social movements, and right now you have political mobilization, one movement can't control the actions of every single person inside of a demonstration. We continue to deny that racial segregation is a problem. We continue to deny that the wealth gap is a problem. We continue to deny that the criminal justice system mistreats, abuses, and dehumanizes Black people. And then when we see these uprisings nationally, we say it's subversives. We say it's the communists. It's the boogeymen that did it, and it's not Americans. But this is us. That's the whole thing. This is who we are, right? And we can either use this as a generational opportunity to transform ourselves, to get better, to really finally be the country we've always wanted to be, or we can just be in this kind of continued cycle of violence and denial and division.
That was KERA's Chris Boyd speaking with UT professor Peniel Joseph. To hear the full conversation, go to think.kera.org. And tonight at 7, listen in for a two-hour special called America, Are We Ready? A national call in about racism, violence, and our future together. And for the latest on the protest in North Texas and around the state, visit our website, keranews.org. For the evening, mostly cloudy skies, a low around 72. Tomorrow, cloudy, a 30% chance for showers, with a high about 88. At 5:58, this is KERA News.